just had Psalm 51 in my heart, and I just want to read some of it to you. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you'll make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Let's stop there. I just felt this morning like the Lord wants us to examine our hearts. Any attitude, anything that's we're just allowing to linger that doesn't belong there, anything that keeps us from pressing in, drawing closer to Him. Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, some kind of lingering sin. You can just simply pray this: Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. Lord, examine my heart. Jesus, show me if there's anything that doesn't belong. Show me if there's any sin, any iniquity, anything that I need to give to you. And then just give it to Him. Lord, I ask that you take my sin away. I'm sorry. And I repent. And I ask that you forgive me and wash me clean. Just like it says there, whiter than snow. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray for pure hearts. I pray for new hearts. Lord, I pray for every person who has a heart filled with pain, discouragement, depression, rejection, betrayal, offense, and hurt. I just ask for a new heart. I pray you'd create in us a new heart. God, a new way of looking at life, a new way of looking at other people. Jesus, that you'd give us your heart of love where there's been anger and bitterness. God, would you give us joy and hope where there's been despair? The joy of the Lord is our strength, and your hope, Lord, is an anchor to our soul. I pray that we'd be able to forgive so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, worship team. Amen. This morning, I want to continue to talk about the series on the church and why are we here? Why does the church exist? Remember, the church is not a building. It's us, the followers of Christ. And one of the things that we're called to do as the church is to share the good news of Jesus with others, to be evangelists, to evangelize. And so that's one of the things we're going to talk about today. And, you know, have you ever gotten good news and just been like, that's awesome, right? It's always fun. It's always nice to get good news. I mean, even today, Chase walked in. I don't know if you guys remember Chase. Last time he was here, he was like this tall. and it's cool to see people you haven't seen in a long time. And good news is never a bad thing, is it? And so, anyway, I was just encouraged to see Chase. It's cool to see you. Chase said he just moved back to town. And And so it's good to see you. And I'm praying that you can plant here and that God will provide for all your needs. Amen? One of the things that the Lord calls us to do in order to grow is to share our faith. And it is probably one of the things that terrifies Christians the most, is to be, when we talk about evangelism, usually unbelievers and believers just kind of get a little uptight, don't we? Because we're like, oh, it's uncomfortable, I don't like this. But we're called to do it. And I want to walk through some of the scriptures with you. We talk about this, these couple of scriptures, the Great Commission that Jesus gave us. What did he tell us before he left? He said, go into all the world and what? Preach the good news to who?
Everyone.
All right. The same verse can be found in Matthew chapter 28. And just before Jesus goes, he says, when he saw them, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we're called to go. And we're called to reach people. And, of course, it is the great commission, not the great omission. And sometimes, I think especially in North American culture, we listen to those verses sometimes. We're like, yeah, but let's just move on to the next thing, you know. It's a little uncomfortable to have to share my faith and with other people. But these words were directed to every single believer. Every follower of Christ is called to go. It's called to reach out. It's called to tell someone about Jesus. I was listening to Greg Laurie. He's the pastor who helped create the Jesus Revolution film, if you've ever seen it. And he actually says, to not share the gospel can actually be a sin. And he references James 4:17, where he says there's a sin of commission where you actually do something wrong, and there's a sin of omission where we actually don't do what's right. And we know it. And it's like if you found a bridge that was washed out and you managed to stop in time, and then you just left instead of warning people and putting up something to barricade it and calling 911. And he says, we are called to actually share the good news with people. We're not supposed to hoard it to ourselves. And so we are called to go. We need to take the word and the good news and bring it out. The world isn't going to come to us, but we're to go to the world. Amen? Sometimes we're waiting. When's the world going to all fill the church and come to hear what I have to say? That's not what it says. But go. Go. We have to go. And sometimes, you know, the word preach freaks people out a little bit too, because we, you know, but preach doesn't have, think of it like this. Do you ever give a recommendation when you eat somewhere, or if you hear someone saying, I'm going to such and such city, and you're like, oh, I stayed there, great hotel down here. You know, you give a recommendation, right? Just give a recommendation. You should try Jesus. You should go to church. You should come with me. I just want to tell you that it's been so amazing since I have gotten to know the Lord. You don't have to feel like you have to preach at someone, all right? Yeah, there you go. You know that the primary way that people come to know Jesus is through what? It's through hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. People need to hear the good news. And I like the way the ESV puts this. It says, faith comes from hearing the good news, and people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. Someone needs to go. Someone needs to tell people. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. God uses us. And he uses our story, he uses our lives to share the gospel, to share the good news with others. Preaching the word doesn't, you know, we're used to that word again, preaching as like when someone preaches at you, you're like, stop preaching at me, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to. But it can be done gently. It doesn't have to be screaming at someone, it doesn't have to be rude. You can do it gently, you can do it quietly, you can do it by the way you live, you can do it conversationally, you can tweet the gospel, you can share it on social media, you can have a conversation and tell someone about the good news. Just communicate it. Amen? Romans 10. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That's for all of us. That someone is you and me. And we can't wait for so-and-so down the road to do it, but we are called to reach people. We're called to go into the world, which means to reach the people that you work with, to reach the people in your home, to reach your neighbors, because we love them and care for them, because it's God's heart. You know, Jonah was called to go to his enemies, to preach the gospel. He didn't want to go. In fact, he tried to run away. But when he finally surrendered and did it, and I think that a lot of us, if we're honest, many times when we have felt like the Lord has told us to share the gospel with someone, we wanted to run too. We wanted to do anything. We come up with an excuse. I'll do anything, Lord, but try and talk about that. I'm out. I'm busy. I can't do that today, right? No one else has ever made excuses? Okay. But you know, when Jonah actually obeyed, when he actually shared the gospel, spiritual awakening broke out, didn't it? We're not only called just to get someone to pray a prayer, but to make disciples. Matthew's account of the Great Commission that we just read in Matthew 28 says, you know, we're supposed to take people and walk them through. We're called to go and make disciples of nations, to baptize them, to teach them. You know, we all start somewhere, but then we need others around us that help us to grow. And that, again, is the beauty of the church, is that we're all in a different place. We've all gone through different things, and we all have something to offer someone else in their walk of faith. No matter where we're at, we need people that are younger than in the faith, and people that are older than us in the faith, that have been through stuff, that can help us. It encourages us, it challenges us, we need each other. And so our job is, I think I've preached a message years and years ago about who are you following and who's following you. And it really is true, like, who's pouring into you and who are you pouring into? We're not supposed to come and just be like, consumers, where we receive, say, from a message or a Bible study or whatever, and then hold it in here. But we're actually called to pour into someone else, to help them come along. And so, Colossians 1:28. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Another version says we want to present them mature in Christ. Part of leading someone to Christ is to actually help them to grow. And that's part of what we're called to as a church. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have different programs and things that we can do to get together and to learn together and to grow. Amen? Sometimes we kind of think about evangelism over here and discipleship over here. They shouldn't be something that's separated. The goal is the same. We lead someone to faith and we help them to grow. We don't want to just say, hey, pray a prayer and see you later. You can see examples of this like, Saul. He came to know the Lord. He's a guy that was murdering people and throwing Christians in jail. And he has an encounter with the Lord, but he knows nothing. And God puts it on Ananias' heart in Acts chapter 9 to go and visit Saul and pray with him and introduce him. And people they didn't even believe that Saul had gotten saved because they knew about his reputation, right? And there might be people in our lives that we would never believe that would actually come to know the Lord, but they need someone that will go. And so we're called to be an Ananias to a Saul or a Barnabas, to a Paul. And I don't know if you've ever seen those shows about the hoarders. Sometimes my wife says I hoard things sometimes, but we're not called to just receive the good news and then hold on to it. We need to let it go. We need to give it away. Amen? One of the beautiful things about sharing your faith is it renews your passion about who Jesus is and what he's done for you. I heard that same thing I listened to with Greg Laurie. He said, if you don't evangelize, you fossilize. I thought that was a good line. Yeah. A young believer needs someone to learn from. But you know what else is I find interesting is that as the older you are in the faith, you need young people that are not necessarily young in age, but young in the faith. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever taken a kid out recently and watched a lightning storm or seen a shooting star or some big act of nature, and you've like, I've seen this 100 times, whatever, cool, and the kids are like, whoa, wow, But they bring a whole new perspective and experience when you're with that person, that young person that's never experienced that before, and all of a sudden there's this passion and an excitement, and it's like reliving it again. Well, what happens in our faith, too, is when you're around a person that has never got to know Jesus, and all of a sudden they're going, oh, wow. That is so cool. God forgave me. Jesus loves me that much that he would do everything for me. And all of a sudden inside here you go, yeah. And it starts to bring, again, your heart alive with the truth of the gospel and what he's done in you. We need that. And it's the way God designed it. Again, to keep our focus on him. We talk about the gospel, we talk about leading someone to the Lord. What is it? What is the gospel? Have you ever tried to share the gospel in 2 minutes? And there's many different little tools out there. There's things like the four laws, four spiritual laws, different groups have created things like that that help you, that you can just have like a little memory thing to go through. But basically it's this. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. And the good news is the gospel teaches us that we are separated from God because of our sin. And the gospel teaches us that absolutely nothing that you and I can do will satisfy the righteous standard of God for our lives. We all will fall short, and that is why we need a Savior. It's why we need Jesus. And the gospel teaches us that we are not inherently good because of our sinful nature. But Jesus came. God sent his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us so that we could be free of our sin and our shame and our guilt. And that there would be no condemnation for us. We can be forgiven because of what Jesus did for us. And the gospel tells us that if we'll turn and surrender to Jesus and invite him into our life, he will fill that hole and that need to bring purpose and fulfillment in our life because it's what we're made for. And he'll bring assurance of living in heaven, living forever with God, eternally. God then adopts us as his children when we make that commitment, that we become called sons and daughters of God, that we become the righteousness of God, that we become a royal priesthood, that we have an inheritance in him. And so we go from being condemned to being forgiven and free. That's the salvation message. Not a single person has fallen too far that they've fallen away from the reach of God's mercy and grace. And not a single one of us can ever earn or be so good that we don't need that every single day. And so we need to lead others towards Christ. And again, you or I, we don't save someone. I can't make someone get saved. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But yet, God reaches people through people, doesn't he? You can pop the question. If you've been married, somebody popped the question to you. Said, you want to get married? And in a conversation, you can pop the question. Do you want to get to know Jesus? Do you want to talk? Can we talk about the faith that I have, the experiences that I've had? And you never know what the Lord is doing in their heart. And so whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you, then go with it. Because again, sometimes we get so worried. Okay, this is where fear kicks in, because I think, I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to do something dumb. I'm going to sound stupid. I'm going to mix up the wording of a verse, or I'm going to forget this wrong. Just go with the Lord, okay? Just trust him. If he's prompting you, then just speak up. The Bible tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, and I really think this is so important to understand. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. We need to be willing to go to anyone and everyone, wherever they're at, and say, just connect and be able to lead them to Christ. In fact, I've heard people refer to this verse and say, basically, we should be willing and prepared to do anything short of sinning to lead people to Christ. Whatever it takes. This should be a priority and a focus in our hearts, in any relationship that we have with other people. I want them to know about Jesus. You guys okay? I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time on this, but Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, you've probably heard this referred to as the fivefold ministry, okay? These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Christ gave himself, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. And so Jesus gave these gifts. These are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you see in 1 Corinthians, all right? But these are gifts that Jesus gave, five gifts, to build up the church. And it breaks my heart when I see so many people fight over, are they real? Do they exist? Jesus gave these gifts to build the church. And we get kind of twisted with them sometimes. We make them complicated, and I don't really believe they're supposed to be. Sometimes we think that that's a person, like the prophet, the evangelist. But no, the gift is, like, the evangelist is the gift to the body. It's a gift to us. We operate in those gifts. What is an evangelist? What pops in your mind when I say that word? Probably Billy Graham. All right, he's probably one of the greatest, at least in our generation for sure, one of the greatest of all time. An evangelist is simply a person who delivers or announces the good news. That's what that gift is for. You might say, well, I'm not a Billy Graham. What does that have to do with me? You know, I'm not going to stand in front of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, but you're still called to carry the good news. And the gift is there, again, to bring the gospel to other people. When you study some of these, the fivefold gifts, all right, the apostles in the New Testament, they were people that were church planners. They were the sent out. That word stands for being sent out. They literally equipped people to send out. The apostles, that gift should equip us to go. The prophet, all right, the prophetic gift is to encourage and to, again, equip with the message of good news. And the evangelist, again, is to bring, again, it's a gift of just bringing the good news, sharing the gospel. Evangelists equip us to deliver the message of Christ and what he did on the cross. And that message of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And you know what always is the prelude to you sharing that? Is your story. What has Jesus done in you? And people often think, the devil will tell you, okay, your story is too boring. It's too vanilla, you know. Nobody's ever going to get something from your story, you know. And I hear this from people that, you know, I was a good person. I got to know Jesus when I was 8 years old or whatever. And I've followed him my whole life. And what do I have to offer with that? That's a good story. And if you went through hell and lived in the world and did all kinds of things and God rescued you in an amazing way, that's also a great story. But God will use the story that you have to reach other people, because your story will reach someone that someone else has won't. You've been through things that someone else hasn't. But you need to share it. There's another word that kind of gets Christians wiggly, and that's witnessing. All right? We think of a Jehovah's Witness knocking on our door. Witnessing is not something you do, but it's something you are. Jesus said that you shall be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The gifts of Jesus equip us, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit empower us. We are empowered to be a witness by the Holy Spirit. And you are a witness wherever you go, if you are willing to open your mouth. Do you know the message? Do you have the message? Will you deliver the message that God has given you? A witness is simply someone that has seen or heard something personally, right? The shepherds, Luke 2:20, they were witnesses, all right? The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had what? Heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. All right? The disciples of John the Baptist were witnesses when Jesus said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. And the disciples of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, they were telling people about Jesus. They were told to stop. And they said, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We see with Paul in Acts 22:15, he's told, you're going to be a witness. And he goes, you'll be his witness to all people of what you have, again, seen and heard. He goes before Agrippa, and he in front of unbelievers, Paul goes back to his story. You see him as he shares with unbelievers often. He goes back to his story. I was riding a horse, and a light came, and a voice came. Knock me off my horse, right? And sometimes we need Jesus to knock us off our horse a little bit and to actually get a hold of us. And he spoke to him, and Paul went back and shared his story. And that's what we have, is our story. That's the message that we have. This is how Jesus became real to me in my life. This is what he's done. This is why I love him. This is why I follow him. And Agrippa even says, you're almost convincing me to become a Christian. And it was when Paul shared his story. It wasn't the theology. It wasn't the doctrine. It was the story. And, you know, we can argue about theology. We can argue about doctrine. But nobody can argue with you about your story. Because it's what Jesus has done in you. So as an example, okay? Years ago, I forget how many it was, like 12 or 15 years ago, I had an issue with my ankle. And for about 5-6 years, it was like chronic pain, constantly. And it was like just having basically a nail shoved in the joint, and it hurt. And I would wake up some mornings and literally basically used one leg and hobbled. I remember sometimes grabbing a shovel and using it as a crutch to get around the yard. And it was constant, and I went to the doctors, and they gave me pain pills, and they didn't really do anything. I remember one of the doctors was like, here, take these T4s, and it still hurt. I was like, I'm not going to take these now because it's just going to, you know, it's not doing anything. I'm going to be addicted to drugs. So I just, you know, I lived like that. And I remember, sorry, that came up bad. But I remember being in this desperation, right? And when you're in chronic pain, you feel like, I have no hope. Where am I going to turn? What am I going to do? And I remember over and over just praying, God help, God help. And for many years, I had serious pain. And it would be times where it would be okay, and then back to being in serious pain. And sometimes you'd feel like, oh, it's going to be okay, and then you twist it the wrong way, step on literally sometimes a little rock, and it would just about drop me. And it was affecting my life. It was affecting our family. And I went to every person that would pray for me. I didn't care where. I was like, please pray. And I remember that some of the things in that the Lord taught me to do, and I remember taking scriptures on healing and beginning to pray them over myself. And you know, sometimes when you're in pain, you don't feel like doing that. And when you're struggling and going through the fire, if so to speak, it's hard to actually do the faithful things that you know. But I remember I had a thing on my phone, and I would read these scriptures on healing and prayer. And I would just pray over myself. And it went on. I got sent to the top foot specialist in Western Canada, and the guy looked at all the tests they'd done, the ultrasounds, MRI, and everything. He looks at them, and then he messes with my foot, and then he looks at them, and he goes, he says, I can't fix what I can't see is wrong. He's like, I'm looking at your foot, and there's a serious problem, obviously, but all the tests say there's nothing wrong in there. And so he looks at me, and just kind of shrugs, and goes, I can't help you. I remember tears actually coming to my eyes, because I'm like, what? You're the guy, you know? You're the guy that's supposed to be able to do something. And he couldn't do anything. And I remember going home feeling so defeated, and yet, forget how long after that was, but Jill was pregnant with Caleb. And 3 days before he was born, I would cry. I was, sorry, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. I was lying there on the couch. I remember getting up, going to get a drink of water, going to bed, and not praying at all. I'd been watching TV. And I heard the clearest voice in my mind, I'm going to heal you before your boy's born. I was like, well, that can only be God. So 3 days later, Jill was induced, and I had dropped her off the front door, and that baby was coming. And I went and parked the car, and I was able to run. All the way in, I got there, and I didn't realize at first I had no pain. But I was completely healed. Nobody prayed for me. Jesus healed me. But that's my story. And somebody can say, well, was that really God? Was that, you know, did that really happen? Well, if you knew me, you knew my life before, you knew my life after. And you know how much that impacted me. And I look back at the many, many, many times that I've seen Jesus heal. And so when someone says, what's your story? And you know, you guys, when you're worried, just ask someone, hey, tell me your story. Tell me about your life. And then after they share their story, you know what the polite thing always is? They're going to turn around and say, why don't you tell me your story? And then you tell them. But nobody can argue with your story. What you have is valuable because it's your history. It's his story in you. It's your history with him. My life changed because I've seen him heal me over and over and over again. Because of that, I'm not afraid to pray for anybody. And it, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's way more fun when you see someone healed instantly, but I can tell you that sometimes there's a journey. And sometimes is it the way that God does it, I don't understand all that. All I know is I come with faith and I say, I'm going to pray. And I can tell you that because of what he's done in me, when I share my story, it will build faith in you without you even realizing it, because what he did in me, he'll do in you. And so when you come with a story like that, you can share with somebody and you can tell them, this is what Jesus has done in my life. And you bring your recommendation. You should try it too. I can't remember if I shared this story, but a few weeks ago, there was a guy I met many years ago, made a post on Facebook. Okay, I don't even have his phone number. Like we just connected once in a while through Facebook since, and something about that post just grabbed my spirit. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, reach out to him right now. And so I looked at my phone, I don't even have his number. So I just messaged him on Facebook. And I said, hey, how you doing? And at first he kind of gave a little bit, you know, whatever, I'm good, you know. And I said, no, how you really doing? Because I just felt like that. You don't do that unless you're feeling prompted. But I dug a little. I'm like, are you okay? He says, no, I'm not. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I spent about 3 hours with him on the phone that week. He lives 6-7 hours from here, but he shared his story for hours. And then I said, can I share mine? And he said, yeah. And so I began to tell him about Jesus. And now he is praying and he is trying to grow and trying to talk to God because he was at that place where he was ready to receive. But I had to follow the prompt and hear that. Don't just ignore that. Don't just scroll by. The Lord loves the people that are in our lives. And sometimes it's that now moment that we need to respond. And we have fear and we have worry, but it's your story, the history that you have with him that allows you to share the truth of the gospel in a powerful, meaningful way, because he did it in you. You're a witness to him. You know, if you're called to go to court because you saw an accident, you don't have to be trained as a mechanic to explain what happened with the car. You don't have to go to like traffic school to explain the flow of what happened. You just share your story. You just share what you saw, what you heard. In fact, when you say things that you didn't see and hear, it's called hearsay and it's inadmissible. We share what we know, all right? I hope this helps you dispel a little bit of fear. Sometimes we think, I have to know it all. I have to have everything, you know, perfect. You don't need to know what happened to the dinosaurs and when they disappeared. And you don't need to have every scripture memorized to tell someone about the good news of Jesus. And you don't need to know every theological, doctrinal thing, okay? You need your story. Because those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just share your story. And how you called on Jesus and how he's helped you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you things and show you things about other people. It's called a word of knowledge. But sometimes when you begin to speak, he just shows you, talk about this, share this story. He'll bring something to mind from your past. And this one time, I saw God do this. And it'll be exactly what they've been facing. I don't know how many times I've been talking to someone and just start to share something and they go, yeah, I've been struggling with that. It's because the Lord prompts that stuff in you. Sometimes I remember something I haven't thought about for 10 years and all of a sudden you're in a conversation and it pops in your head and you share it. Oh yeah, that's really cool. Can you trust the Lord to lead you, to guide you? Can you trust that he cares about the people in your life so much that he gave everything for them and he wants to use you to reach them? I have a whole bunch more I was going to say, but I think I'm just going to quit. Round two next week. I want to take a few moments to pray before we go downstairs and talk about this a bit more. was the last time you prayed for someone to come to know the Lord in your life? Someone in your family, someone you work with. See, it's easy for me to share a story like with this guy on Facebook. Oh, it happens so easy. But then there's people that we have to pray for and work at, and we get so frustrated because it's been 10, 20, 30 years and nothing is happening. We have to just trust. We have to pray and ask God and be available and willing. When he says say something, we say something. Yesterday, I hung out with my father-in-law and brother-in-law. We walked 32 kilometers and I was praying, God, give me an opportunity to be a witness because I'm frustrated. It's been years. Did I get an opportunity? No. But I'm praying for their hearts to change. I follow them around. Up and down hills, looking for a deer. And I just felt like this was my prayer yesterday. God, I pray that their hearts would change. I pray that you'd show me. We have this thing that we do together that we love, and it's hunting. And I'm like, God, whatever, even in this, can you show me how to connect with them? Again, like Paul said, all things to all people. Can you show me and help me to be a witness in this somehow? That's all I can do sometimes in that moment. But I trust God. I remember my mom's family. As kids, we used to pray for them. And it's interesting, one after another over the years, all of a sudden, many of them went from mocking God to serving him. I love instant things. We all do. But some of this stuff takes time. And it takes a journey of trusting God. And this walk that we have right now on this earth, it's a journey of learning to trust, learning to get closer to him, learning to take faith, to step of faith and risk when he calls us to. But we need to be about the Lord's business of making disciples. That is a call that we all have. Amen? So let's pray, and I just want you to take a few moments, and I want you to pray, Lord, is there anybody in my life that you've called me to be a witness to make a recommendation, a 5-star recommendation? Is there someone in my life that I can share my story with? God, would you help me? And I want you to actually repent for times where you've allowed fear to shut your mouth, where you've allowed fear to say you're not good enough, that no one cares about my story, because that's what God's done in you. So don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus has done in you. It might feel boring to you, but it's powerful to somebody else. So don't be ashamed of the history he has with you. Repent for feeling condemned, for allowing condemnation to run in your heart. Because there are, I think if we're honest, probably all of us at times have blown it. And wished we had said something and didn't. We knew we probably should have done something and we didn't. Just give that to the Lord. Don't carry that. And then ask him, Lord, would you fill my heart with faith? Would you fill my heart with a love and a passion for those around me that don't know you? And would you help me to be a shining light, a witness, to tell people about what you've done? God, I'm not going to be perfect, and I'm going to sometimes mess it up the way I try and share it. It's probably going to come out wrong, but God, I just trust you. So why don't you just take a moment, just ask the Lord, is there someone in my life, even this week, Lord, is there someone in my life this week that I can be a witness to? Jesus, I pray for our families. I pray for our friends. I even pray for our enemies. I pray for our neighbors. I pray for our coworkers. I pray for salvation. And I pray that you would bring those supernatural moments, those opportunities, those divine setups where we are able to bring life and bring hope and bring the good news of the gospel. And I pray that we wouldn't be afraid. I pray that we would just trust in you and that we would open our mouth and speak the good news. Faith comes by hearing the good news about Christ. And so God, I pray that we wouldn't be able to just ignore the need around us, that we wouldn't just hoard the good news of life and hope and joy that we have in you, but that we would truly do our part to share the good news with those around us who don't know you. And God, I know that that ignites a passion and a life in us that is, there's no other way to experience that than to share our faith with others, share our story. I just pray for confidence, I pray for courage, I pray for boldness, and I pray for breakthrough. Lord, that those we love would not stay the same, that those we care about, those we work with, would encounter you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.